Mercy and peace be unto you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we have all done things in our life that we are not proud of. Wouldn't you say that's true? There are no perfect people here in this building today. Not one. We all have a part of our life, things we've said and done or failed to do that cause us great embarrassment and shame. In fact, there are things in our life that if other people knew it about us, we would just wilt and withdraw in embarrassment. I would expect for most people, there's a part of their life and of their history and of their being that they don't even like to think about themselves. And they haven't talked a lot about these things. Even with the people closest to you, the ones you love, some of the ones you've trusted the most, maybe they have never even fully heard the story or the details of what you did or the guilt that you feel. And for those pieces of our life, they're so embarrassing or so hard to consider. What do you do with that? How do you resolve that? How do you live with that? In our text for today from Luke 18, there are two guys, two men, who both go into the temple. And we know that they also have their secrets, their sins. We know that they are sinners because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just as there are no perfect people in this building here today, certainly these two men were not perfect either. Which means they had to somehow find a way to live with the truth that they knew about themselves. They had to find a way to try and resolve that horribleness and to find some sense of peace or to know that it's okay for them. And so the first man, in his attempts to deal with the reality that he is a sinner, decides to reflect upon how, in comparison with others around him, maybe he's not so bad. I know I've done some wrong things. I know I'm a sinner, but at least I'm not like this guy over there or this woman back there. I can see what they are like. And by comparison, then, he wants to find some good in himself to counterbalance what he truly knows in his heart, that he's a sinner. So he's looking for comfort in himself. I may have done some bad things, but I'm nowhere near like that person over there. And that's where he's looking for comfort. Then there's the second man. He has a little different approach. He's not trying to find some good in himself to counterbalance or to outweigh the bad that he's done. Instead, he looks outside of himself, away from himself. He looks to God. And this man is just very honest. I know I am a sinner. And he beats his chest. And he looks outside himself to a God, to the living God, the only God, and he looks to him and he says, even though this is who I am, will you show me mercy? Will you forgive me? Will you still love me, cleanse me, and give me peace? In this story, Jesus says it's that second man who walks away from the temple being justified, finding peace. And so we have a great biblical truth that is laid out to sinners, to you, and most certainly to me. In dealing with the errors and guilts and shortcomings and failings of our life, the hope that we have is not to be found in reassuring ourselves that we're just not that bad and to trying to look on the bright side of things. Now, the place to find peace and forgiveness and acceptance is to look outside of ourselves to the living God, to just be honest with Him and say, yes, that is the individual, that is the man, I am that man, but please forgive me and have mercy on me. In the Old Testament reading from Genesis, God says to Cain, what have you done? Simple question, what have you done? Trying to bring Cain to that point and that perspective where he would not try to justify himself and explain his actions and argue why what he did was the right thing, but to look at that horribleness. I murdered my brother. Yes, Lord, I did it. He was giving Cain every opportunity just to be honest and just to confess. Not to sugarcoat it, not to overlook it, but just to be honest. And truth be told, that's how God treated his parents, Adam and Eve, a chapter earlier in Genesis, chapter 3. To Adam, he says, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat? Again, giving Adam just the opportunity to be a man, just to be honest, just to state openly, confessionally, what everybody knew. Yeah, Lord, I ate of the fruit. He didn't take that option, did he? And then with Eve, God asks Eve, and what is it that you have done, Eve? Again, the question is set forward. Who is it that finds peace? Who is it that is justified in the sight of God? It's the one who looks at the reality of what their life has been and simply says, yeah, Lord, that's me. And I am so sorry. Please have mercy on me. And we know from God's word that as we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves and confess their sins and cry out to me, I will most certainly be listening to them and hearing them. And I will forgive them. And I'll bring healing into their life and into their land. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's a scripture that the first man, the Pharisee, could have used. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Instead of highlighting what a great guy you are, or at least you're not as bad as all those others, just to be honest. And the verse continues, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Years ago, I was at another church, and a pastor cited a Bible passage I had never heard before. So I looked it up. I don't know if that's ever happened to any of you. Certainly has happened to me, and I'm a pastor. You know, I went to the seminary. I studied hard like Cody did. But here was a passage that I was not familiar with, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says that the eyes of the Lord range back and forth upon the face of the earth, looking for those whose hearts are turned toward Him, that He may strengthen them. God's eyes are searching upon the earth to see whose hearts are turned toward Him, Who are the people out there upon the earth that instead of looking inwardly and trying to justify themselves, they're just being humble and honest and saying, yeah, I know who I am and I need mercy. And those are the ones that he's looking to strengthen. Now, we have all come to a church this morning. We've all come to our temple. And like the two men in Jesus' story, we have all come as sinners. Imperfect people. People who have made mistakes in life. People who have their secrets, their shames, their guilts. And you can sit here today and say, yeah, I've done some things I'm not proud of, but who hasn't? I haven't done the stuff that so-and-so has done. Certainly, I can't be all that bad. God would let me into heaven, right? Because I've been a good guy. I sat through Pastor Mark's entire sermon, paid attention. I'll throw a couple bucks into the plate. I'm a good guy. And you can live your life thinking like that, but you will not leave this house justified, and you will not have peace in your heart. Or you can follow the model that has been given by the other man in the story, who is honest and who just looks to God and says, yeah, that's me. And I'm not proud of it, but I am that guy. I have said those things. I have done those things. I have pursued those things. And all I can say is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The good news about our faith is that there is peace for people who make that confession. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, not to condemn them. Jesus Christ came in order to offer up his life in payment for our sins. It's because God so loved all of us that he gave his Son. That if we believe in his Son and confess his Son, we have eternal life. Jesus said, I came that you might have that peace that I know that you need. I came to wash away that guilt and that shame and that embarrassment that you have carried all your life. And I came to give you peace. Not as the world gives, my kind of peace. Peace that surpasses all human understanding. Peace so that you need not be troubled or afraid anymore. So that when you walk through those doors and you leave this place, you know that I have washed away all that guilt. And I remember your sin no more. It's gone. It doesn't even exist. And that you are cleansed. And now you are good. But not because of the choices you made. You are now good because I make you good. And I put my arms of love around you and I call you my son, my daughter. And I write your name in my book of life. And you are an heir of my kingdom. And I can't tell you, it's my great pleasure to give you that kingdom. That is the beauty of our God. The Bible says that he is love. And you certainly can't argue with that, can you? Our God is love. And he shows us love. And he pours love upon us. And he makes us his own. See what a privilege and joy that has been given to us that we would be called the cleansed, forgiven children of God. And so we are. Amen.